Can we please start? Would you mind just introducing yourself?
Sure.
So, like, the name of your newsletter and some, like, relevant information about your background that might have put you in a position to be launching a newsletter in the first place, or sort of, like, you know,
sure.
some parts of your story that
okay.
are relevant.
So, I'm Chris Short, Principal or Product Marketing Manager at Ansible. Work for Red Hat. I run the newsletter DevOps-ish at devopsish.com. And I come from an interesting background. I have a military background, so I spent a lot of time just like keeping up with foreign policy, intelligence, communication standards, things like that. So the natural evolution when I got out was to like focus on tech news and like consume that content.
Yeah.
And then I started like thinking, well, I do this all the time. Is there a way like I can help people or share this knowledge? So
yeah.
I created like this weird series of integrations with If This Then That, where
okay.
I can share content. And then I was like, I'm sharing all this content. I should do something with it. Like, this happened naturally over the course of a few years.
Yeah.
I was like, I should just make a newsletter.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And it's kind of, I mean, it's not like it's the best DevOps newsletter in the world as far as subscribers go, but like, I'm doing this stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well just make it useful to somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of answered some of my questions organically. How long have you been publishing?
When did I start the newsletter? Just had the 2-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you, yeah. So I worked, this was like the 2 years ago before Christmas is when I started it.
And it's a weekly.
It is a weekly, which is an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
So how did I decide on weekly is a question that I get often.
I mean,
it's so like, it's work, right? Like this
yeah,
is work.
Yeah, yeah.
People do pay me for it.
Yeah.
So that's good. Do they pay me enough? We'll see.
Yeah.
But the thing that you have to remember is your newsletter has to fit your personality.
Yeah.
And I'm very like as dynamic as I am, as far as like I want my day to be different on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I don't want to wake up and do the same thing every day and go back to work home or whatever and just wake up and do it all again the next day. I am surprisingly like habit driven though.
Yeah.
So it's a weird kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
So if I didn't do it every week, it would probably never have taken off.
Yeah. It's like you need structure around
yes.
the chaos kind
and
of
like
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the biggest thing that I tell people is that like when you start your newsletter, no one's gonna subscribe to it. It's gonna be like you and your friends.
Yeah.
And then a couple more people.
Yeah.
And then a couple more people. You gotta do it. It took me like 6 months before I think I broke like 500 subscribers.
Okay. That's
so it took a long time to get that going. But a lot of people market things differently.
Yeah.
Like I try to be more authentic.
Yeah.
And yes, I wrote something. Yes,
okay.
I put it out there, right?
Yeah.
I'll share it on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm creating a marketing plan for my newsletter.
Yeah.
And, you know, building all the components of a like massive execution launch style, you know, product thing.
So when you started out, I mean, you said when you start, you kind of publish it for you and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an idea of what the audience for something like this might be? Or?
So I knew the audience was going to be people that like, because I was sharing this stuff on social media,
yeah,
I knew that the audience was typically people that engage with the content.
Sure.
So I knew that that group of people was a lot of people in the DevOps space,
yeah.
obviously. Cloud native,
yeah.
so Kubernetes and that whole sphere of influence. And then a lot of the people that are like junior sysadmins.
Yeah.
There's a thirst for knowledge that connects the junior people, junior developers, junior sysadmins, junior cloud engineers, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They are motivated and thirsty for knowledge.
Interesting.
And it's all about like bridging the divide.
Yeah.
Like I try to lower the barrier of entry to DevOps.
Sure.
With the newsletter. Because,
yeah.
I mean, even Kubernetes is just the kernel. Right?
Yeah.
Like it's a bunch of stuff, but it's still just one like thing.
And when you just, what you just said there sounded like a tagline, lowering the barrier of entry to DevOps. Is
mm-hmm.
that the tagline?
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah, like, again, going back to, like, I don't build, like, the marketing plan. I think,
yeah.
like, the tagline is, like, DevOps, cloud native, and all the ish in between.
Yeah.
Because it's DevOps-ish.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of DevOps-y.
It's so you mentioned junior sysadmins.
Mm-hmm.
I publish internal newsletter at Red Hat.
Right.
And I've found that the people who are more likely to consume that content are actually senior like developers.
Really?
And sysadmins. And we postulate that it's because at a certain point in your career at a company, it's kind of more part of your job to be like horizontally aware, so
mm-hmm.
looking around to seeing what else.
That's fair.
And so I think that's an interesting contrast against like something to lower the barrier.
Right.
It's like more around the
well area. I mean, but your Red Hat newsletter is very horizontally focused.
Facts. Yeah.
Right,
so that, too.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, right? Like a newsletter is what you make it.
That's it.
There's no like standard route for a newsletter unless you're doing like, you know, like you're an e-commerce like website.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like
it's pretty
processify,
yeah.
or whatever you want to call it. But the newsletter world is literally like what you want, right? Like,
and like so we kind of like emergently recognized that who our audience was. Like
mm-hmm.
it was not that we necessarily set out to make something specifically for them. It's
mm-hmm.
just that we kind of saw in the data over time, like, oh yeah, these are the people who can keep coming back. And
yeah.
I just wonder, you know, your newsletter has sections, kind of like the tools,
oh.
the processes and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so
how much of that was emergent and how did it all...
Right, so when I first started the newsletter, I think my tagline on Twitter was like sarcasm as a service or something like
yeah.
that. So I wanted it to be like kitschy, quirky, fun, but then I realized like that's contrary to like your personality and like the message you're trying to convey.
Right.
So...
Just to be explicit, which were...
So, like, I'm trying to lower the barrier to entry. I shouldn't have, like, these really kind of funny, quirky,
yeah.
like, what does that even mean, kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
section
yeah,
titles.
Yeah.
So it would be, like, you know.
Pushes people away.
Like, the Department of Grief. Like, if somebody had, like, it was all set up in, like, departments.
Okay.
So, like, Department of Defense has Department of the Air Force, Department of Marines, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Like, Department of the Marines, Marine Corps, whatever. Marine hate letter, send it to Tom. the idea of simplification
yep.
came up, and it's like eventually I just got to this point where I had so many categories
yep.
of like buckets of put stuff in, like should it be this thing, should it be this thing, and I just said no, screw it.
Yeah,
DevOps is three things: it's people, it's processes, and it's tools.
Yeah,
write an introduction in the newsletter, people, processes, and tools, everything falls into one of those three buckets.
Yep.
And then tweet of the week,
that's pretty good,
which I always love the tweet of the week thing. So
there's two
simple
things
is
there.
Good.
There's two things there. One was I've found that like having a mental model for like how
mm-hmm.
things go, like I have experience in the like never ending list of categories, like
mm-hmm.
anyone with a blog and you look at your tags and it's like
yeah, I tried to do like
yeah.
It was like one night last week I think. I was like, how many tags do I have on this website of mine that's like 14 years old? Oh my god.
A lot.
Like, oh boy, I need to work on that at some point. But yeah,
yeah,
like you do get that kind of bloat
yeah.
on any kind of blog or anything you tag or put categories in is ripe for just explosion. So
yeah.
keeping it very tight is important.
Yeah, simple and tight.
And like you say, well, it's DevOps and it's cloud native and it's this and it's that. And it's just stuff I do all the time. So
yeah.
to me, it's like, it's things I'm reading about anyway.
Yeah.
It's the sphere that I'm in, and it's simplified into these three basic buckets.
And then one of the other things I wanted to ask you about was on the production side. I bet it's probably related, but like, have you found some like things that make it easier? Like you kind of mentioned the cadence as
mm-hmm.
far as like sticking to a weekly.
Yeah, the process is important. I need to spend more time automating things.
Yeah.
But the process is important. So people are like, well, how long does it take you to produce the newsletter? And I'm like, I can't quantify that.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I work on the newsletter every day.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading every day.
Yeah.
And I'm sharing the content every day.
Yeah.
But what I started to do to save time, as I'm sharing this stuff throughout the week, it builds up. In some weeks, it's hundreds of links.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty long ones.
Yeah, so like the newsletter got to a point last year where it was like taking me 3-4 hours to produce
right.
on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, this was my
super
free time.
Fun, party,
super,
party.
Yeah, no, like... So, it's funny to hear, like, if I delay the newsletter, and when it was in its infancy but still had a following, people would, like, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
what's going on? Why is the newsletter not out yet? It's like, I was tired, so I went to bed.
Yeah.
So, like, people get into a habit of reading your newsletter.
Yeah.
And it becomes, like, a thing to them.
Yeah, it must be a trip, too, to have
it's
people.
Pretty wild when people are, like, strangers are like, hey, why is there no newsletter yet?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I didn't put anything out on Twitter, like, because that's what I have to do, right? Like, if I'm, like, exhausted, like, I have a nerve damage and a shoulder injury, so, like, if that's bugging me, like, I will put on Twitter, like, hey, I'm not going to get the newsletter up tonight. Sorry.
Yeah.
Part of that's for the sponsors, too, because
yeah.
I know that they're going to look, but a lot of the sponsors, because I publish on the weekend intentionally,
yeah.
because I don't want the sponsors to be like, hey, it's 2 o'clock on Monday morning, you know,
yeah, yeah,
why
yeah.
isn't it out yet, you know,
boss, yeah.
so yeah, and they're, I mean, every sponsor I've ever had is like understanding, they know that I'm just one person,
yeah.
that this isn't my full-time job.
Yeah,
you
know? I guess, no, that's your brand, right, like,
yeah.
part of your thing is that it could be Sunday morning mm-hmm. if your shoulder hurts.
well, I mean, you know, the goal is, the newsletter publishes at 7 a.m., UTC every Sunday.
Nice.
That doesn't get changed too often, but there was a stretch there where I was traveling a lot end of last year where it was like every week was delayed, so
yeah.
it happens. I mean, we have lives, we're human, and I think that's the most important part. That's why people
yeah.
are first in the newsletter too. It's not tools, trust me, the tool section is the biggest one every week. I
clicks.
Know
clicks
it also
right.
gets the most clicks usually.
Yeah,
the process is probably number two, and the people are, you know, it, if you had to look at a category, it's the lowest number of people clicking on it.
Yeah.
However, it's the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's why I put it first.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, that's very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So, 7 a.m. UTC, was that like, gives you a good spread for clicks in
a
short period? Or
yes and no. I wanted a UTC time base because
it's
one time zone would be great for the whole planet, I feel like.
Yeah.
Time is, it is a thing.
Sure.
I get it, but it is a construct. So, like, the clock is a construct for humanity. So,
whoa.
Who gives a shit, right? So, yeah, like, UTC, also that ties in with Kubernetes, because
yeah.
the only time you can run Kubernetes in, I think, is UTC right now. So,
okay.
the audience is the big thing, right?
Yeah.
So, if you look at, I use MailChimp. So if you look at who opens the emails, where they're from, where do you think that is predominantly?
I would guess it's like New York and San Francisco.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You nailed it, right? So, like, yeah, the San Francisco audience in that time slot is like just climbing in bed, I feel like.
Yeah.
So they're going through their email.
Yeah.
So, like, most of the clicks I get, so if it publishes at 7 a.m. UTC, that's like 3 or 4 a.m. East Coast time. So by the time I wake up around 7,
yeah.
I'll open it and just, you know, make sure it went out,
it's
and then
fine.
I'll just flip it over to the stats real quick,
yeah.
and I'll be like, yep, it's all, like, California,
yeah.
New York City, because
yeah.
those are the locales that, like,
yeah.
time zone
the
they're up
yeah.
late, or time zone they're up early kind of
yeah.
thing, right? So, yeah. And then I did that for Europe, too. A lot of European readers, which
okay.
I kind of knew was going to happen.
Nice. Well,
so, yeah, like, first thing Sunday morning, they get their newsletter. So it's like the morning paper for them.
That's pretty good.
It's the evening post for the West Coast. And it's, you know, just a super early newsletter that, you know, feels like it's automated, but it's not.
Any APAC readers?
So there are some APAC readers. The problem, so here's
I'm probably
the thing.
I'm good for a couple of clicks usually, so.
Yeah, so the problem I have right now is I only speak English. So, and, like, doing translation services, good ones are very expensive.
Yeah.
Like, even here at Red Hat, like, I just learned about our translation process here at Red Hat for everything, our manuals, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
It is very, very hard and very expensive. And we are all over the world.
Yeah. They actually talk about transcreation these days to,
right.
to reflect how much more complicated it is than people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I work with those people. They're
yeah.
Cool, yeah.
So if I produced, I knew if I produced a Chinese version of the newsletter and actually hosted it in China,
yeah.
it would explode.
Yeah.
I know that from working with, you know, the Kubernetes world.
Yeah.
So if it's going to come to a point where it's like, I would love to have a Chinese counterpart
sure.
or a Chinese speaking counterpart
yeah.
that could do the translation, like a
yeah.
teammate, but
yeah.
also could benefit from, you know, contributing to a newsletter like this.
Sure.
But
would you mean like
translate
600
like
articles or whatever?
No, not the whole content, but just like
headlines,
just the newsletter itself,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
the English version comes out Sunday, the Chinese version will come out, you know, Monday or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. And, yeah, so, like, the fact that KubeCon China is, like, a thing and it's a big deal,
yeah,
shows that there's a thirst for this, like, just give me something.
Yeah.
Like, not from a marketer, right, in the traditional marketing sense, even though I work in marketing now, like, I come from an engineering background.
Yeah.
So, like, give me somebody that sees horizontally but can see vertically as well.
Sure.
And give me news.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I get a lot of, obviously I subscribe to a lot of newsletters.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. but, like, it's so hard to find good technical newsletters.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so glad so many people are writing them now.
Yeah, there's been a bit of, I don't know if it's at a boom stage yet, but I've
mm-hmm.
seen more coming through over the
yeah.
last 6 months.
Well, I think it's gotten so easy to do it now.
Yeah.
Right, like, the operating costs for DevOps issue are very low, and
yeah.
it's by design, right?
Yeah.
Like,
do you have a free MailChimp account, or are you paying?
No, I pay for MailChimp.
Nice
work. And that's because I appreciate what they do and
they
how
do,
they do
they
it.
They do good work, yeah.
Yeah, so, also...
Show MailChimp.
Yeah, also, I didn't like the MailChimp logo being that
yeah,
big fat thing on the bottom
yeah.
of the email, so literally from day one I've been paying MailChimp.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think the MailChimp costs are next to nothing, right? It's like, it's based off how many subscribers you have.
Yeah.
I think it's like $30 a month.
Yeah.
And they actually give you a discount for enabling two-factor auth.
Yeah.
So, like that's pretty dope, right? Like, that's why I like it. I was like, oh my God, they give a discount for two-factor?
Yeah.
I'll pay for it? Come on. That's the kind of stuff I want to encourage, right? So.
So you mentioned it's getting easier to do. Do you mind, like you said earlier on, you were talking about if this then that.
Mm-hmm.
Is if this then that still part of your process, or
so to an extent, right? So I actually drew like a flowchart basically. So what I do is I save everything to Pocket,
okay.
Pocket app, getpocket.com, and then I don't really do anything with it in Pocket.
Yeah,
it sits there, and that's so I can go back and reference it later.
Yeah.
Like I treat Pocket like the source of truth kind of thing. so then what happens is if that then that sees that Pocket has a new article. I have Bitly set up to track the clicks
okay.
through social. So it converts the link into a Bitly link, which is custom branded, cshort.co,
yeah.
because it's me. And then that gets distributed to all the social networks. So
yeah.
I have a Facebook group or page or whatever, goes there, my LinkedIn, my personal LinkedIn, and then my personal Twitter.
Yeah.
And you say, well, why not? You have a DevOps-ish page on Facebook, but why don't you have one on LinkedIn and Twitter? No one's going to follow a bot.
Right.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
So I just do it as me.
Yeah.
Done. That also helps my brand.
Yeah.
So it's not about building something like, I'm not building DevOps just to like sell it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not building
it's
it to like,
that, yeah.
you know.
Which
great.
Is fine if
right.
you know, people will do that.
Yeah, I mean, fine. You want to build a newsletter to sell it off to somebody? Great. Go ahead. Do it. If that's your business model, run with it. Like, I'm all for it. But like me, I'm never going to like sell DevOps just. It's going to live and die with me. So,
okay.
like, it might as well benefit me somehow, so that's
yeah.
why I'm doing it there. So, how do you do that, though, in a way that's controlled? This is where the magic comes in. It's not really magic at all.
Okay.
Tumblr?
Yeah.
You know, the big T.
I'm aware.
Yeah. They have a queuing system.
Okay.
You can queue up to 50 articles a day and put it on schedule.
Okay.
So you can say, distribute these articles between this time and this time.
Yep.
So that's what I do. I set a cap. The daily cap I have is 37 articles.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Yeah, so like, and the idea is fill the funnel, right? Like,
I use Buffer for the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, if you're using Buffer for that, it gets very expensive. That's
yeah.
why I'm using this weird if this then that kind of thing. It's actually
yeah.
like a whole series of recipes. I need to actually write this down sometime and publish it because it is kind of fascinating. There's a lot of room for automation. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Because like, when you look at how I read a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very up to date with the market.
Yeah.
Very up to date with the field. But how do you get all that down, right? Like I mentioned, you know, I've had weeks where it's been hundreds of links.
Yeah.
How do you boil that down to something somebody's going to read?
Yeah, so talk about it.
So what I started doing was I was doing the branded link, just would be branded.
Yeah.
What I shifted to start doing last year.
I know what the magic is.
Yes.
Is it that you, based on the clicks that they get through
Bingo.
Your social
media? Bingo. I pop open Bitly. I say top performing. It gives you the top performing, I think it's top 100.
Yeah.
The top performing links. And then I set the date from like the Friday before, because the way the queuing system works, you're going to lose some news on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not going to get enough clicks, basically.
Right.
And for a while, once the newsletter broke like 2,000 subscribers, I didn't have to worry about this anymore. But for a while, I set it like, you have to have a minimum number of clicks to be in the newsletter.
Yeah.
I think it was like 5.
Sure.
And then it quickly went up to 10.
Yeah.
And then once it passed 2,000, like, it's just like, now it's up to me.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Because everything gets more than 10 clicks a week. If you had one article a couple weeks ago, I got like 500 clicks.
Which one?
I'd have to look.
Don't look.
No, like, it's right here.
Okay.
The problem with Bitly is that it's an enterprise tool.
Yep.
It's not designed for people like me.
Yeah.
So, like, I spend $30 for the newsletter. I'm not going to spend $2,500 a month to shorten the links.
All right.
Also, the link shortening and if this then that doesn't happening for LinkedIn.
Okay.
So I'm getting hundreds of clicks on articles, not going through Bitly.
Right.
So I have to go independently look at LinkedIn, and most of the time,
that's pretty annoying.
It's super annoying, and most of the time it trends in the same direction anyway.
Yeah. It
so
makes sense.
I kind of ignore LinkedIn. I mean, I do cursorily check it. Like, is there anything that performed crazy good?
Yeah.
Like, go look at that, make sure it's in the newsletter, but. It's not like I'm sourcing that data. So I've got all these data points that I'm using, but I'm not automating it, right?
Yep.
Like, I totally could do that. I probably, the newsletter website's all done in Hugo,
okay,
not on MailChimp, because right. I hate websites that are like super JavaScript heavy. Even though my personal website's super JavaScript heavy, that's more, I want it to look pretty, not be functional.
Sure.
For DevOps-ish, I intentionally make it like it has to score in the high 90s on Google page speed tests.
Yeah.
And that's not for me. That's for the emerging markets. That's for the people that are reading the newsletter on like a crappy, you know, feature phone in India.
Yeah.
They're trying to build themselves up. They're trying to gain more knowledge. So I make sure that performs well.
Nice one.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to lower the barrier to entry. So that means you have to lower it for everyone, not just people in the US.
My dude. So another question I was going to ask was, you mentioned the kind of basics as far as sharing. Did you have like a growth strategy or something? Or
no, and that's, that goes back to like, I don't have like a real marketing plan, right?
So
this is just for...
There was no paid social or...
No, I mean, I've done, I've tinkered with like that. What did I do? During AWS reInvent, I targeted Vegas for like DevOps,
sure,
cloud native. I didn't want to target them for AWS because that would be dumb.
Yeah.
You know? So what ended up happening was I got thousands of clicks, no subscribes.
Okay.
No. Like, the conversion rate was like 1 to 2,000.
Okay.
So I was like, well, this is clearly a waste of money.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what I found as far as like activating a newsletter. The problem with newsletter marketing, it's not a thing.
Okay.
The newsletter is marketing.
Yeah.
To a lot of people. So there's no like business strategy around getting subscribers to a newsletter.
Yeah.
Like Corey Quinn, brilliant guy, his newsletter last week in AWS just passed 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Amazing work he's done. But he is hilarious. He's very well spoken.
Yeah.
He's more of a people person than I am.
Sure.
So he's very good at what he does. And it's also like his full-time job is like, this is his thing, is AWS consulting.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's his marketing plan, is his newsletter.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, like this, like, great, good for him for doing it. I read his newsletter every week. I love him to death.
Yeah.
But even with him, like, his newsletter is wildly popular, but again, he's a consultant first.
Yeah.
His newsletter was to activate that. My newsletter, that's the activation.
Yeah.
So that's hard.
Yeah.
There's no great way to market that. So you have to write quality content.
That's
and what I noticed mid-year last year, it's like right after I joined Red Hat, because I was moving from like the DevOps consultant person to the marketing person, the quality of the newsletter went down.
Really?
It's because I was adjusting.
Right.
I was learning all these marketing-y things, and that was bleeding into the newsletter.
Sure.
Because I was picking up all these new skills at the time. So now that I've like refocused and like I've kind of picked up things, I'm able to write more about like quality things. Like last week, what did I talk about? It was like super in-depth, talking about how technology is advancing faster than human race can catch up with it, right? Like,
yeah,
that's an advanced topic.
Yeah.
But it's real.
And did you, how did the quality dip show up? Did you lose subs? Did people
People were
it?
Unsubscribing at a higher rate.
Yeah.
One. So, this is the problem with the newsletter. This is, well, it's actually a problem with anything, right? Like, if you build something on the internet,
yep.
It could be a blog post, it could be code, it could be Kubernetes.
Sure.
There's going to be critics. Like, you have to deal with criticism.
Yeah.
There'll be more on that this year. I'm going to do something fun with that.
Okay.
Some of the criticism I've gotten over
stay
the years.
Tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. But one person responded back, and I think he referred himself as a he, but you know, he said, like me, he's a voracious consumer of news.
Yeah.
And he's like, your newsletter isn't adding any value right now.
Okay.
He's like, it seems like you're literally taking the descriptions from the webpage and plugging them in for like your snippet afterwards.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be custom, like tailored, like a little bit of opinion.
Yeah.
Or a little bit of like connecting the dots for people.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing that.
Right.
And that's where it kind of fell out. And that's when I realized it's because the newsletter grew so fast.
Yeah.
Size wise, like
the length of it. Yeah.
And I had changed jobs, and I was picking up these new skills, and it was just like, I had to, consolidate quality. So now I try to keep it under 50 links in the email. Total.
So many links.
So hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, last week, I started out with, like, 56. Good job, Chris.
Yeah.
You narrowed down these, I think it was, like, 180 links or something that week. You narrowed it down to 56. But get rid of six more. That's the hard part.
Yeah, the final six.
Mm-hmm.
As
and all these numbers are just arbitrary, right? Like, I feel like 50 is a good number and maybe could go lower.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is helpful for me at least to have that hard limit because, like, when it gets down to those whatever last couple, it's like, you could let it slip, but then, you know, it just
some of the tools, I mention it because I'd like to see the developer get a little more notoriety.
Yeah.
They don't get a lot of clicks, but hey, you were mentioning DevOpsish. You can hang your head on that. Like, that's something.
Yeah.
And that's good, right? So, like, you know, if you get in the newsletter.
Yeah. You're bringing people up
right.
with you.
That's the idea, right? That's the idea. Like, I'm helping people here.
So the other question that I wanted to ask was about, as far as opportunities or interesting interactions or anything stand out as far as what got unlocked by doing it?
So it has opened some interesting doors for me, right? Like, it opened the door to becoming a CNCF ambassador.
Nice.
So, yeah, like, super, super interesting how that happened. So I was running the newsletter.
And pause, CNCF is the...
Cloud Native Computing Foundation.
Okay.
Sorry.
Carry on.
I forget that people... don't
matter.
Know what acronyms are sometimes. I think we all do in tech, and that's kind of a problem in itself. But anyways, the newsletter was a thing, and basically lost my job, right? Like, I decided, you know, the startup that I work for in Detroit, or it wasn't a startup. I keep saying it was a startup. It was a startup. It went on the stock exchange, went off the stock exchange because it got acquired. And once the acquisition closed, I was like, I'm done. I'm out. Give me my equity. I'm gone. They basically burned me out. It was awful. But, you know, it wasn't any fault of their own. It was just the position of the company, my personal status, you know, lot in life kind of thing. It's just a culmination of bad events. So I was like, I'm out. Like, this closes. I'm taking my stock and running. And I had a job offer, and it fell through, like, days before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So, like, I had to go through Thanksgiving unemployed. I had to go through Christmas unemployed. But one thing I did, I was like, well, I'm writing all this cloud native stuff. I need to go to KubeCon. I got to find a job.
Yeah.
And like, it's the, you know, it's like Wednesday before Thanksgiving and 2 p.m. or whatever. I find out this job's not going to go through. That sucked, right? Like, that's a horrible way to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas because who's hiring at that time frame, right? So yeah, the idea of going to KubeCon like immediately popped in my head. I've got to get down there. I've got to find a job. So I reached out to CNCF and was like, is there anything you can do, right? Like,
good people.
Help me.
Help me help you.
Yeah. And that's basically how I phrased it. And it was great. Dan Cohn responded back to me. He's the head of CNCF. And he was like, we'd be happy to, Chris. Come down. And, like, just happenstance, George Castro was talking to me, because we're both from Michigan. We met down there for the first time in Austin a couple years ago. And he was like, hey, you know, you should like sign up to be a CNCF ambassador. And I was like, oh, I'll look into it. And like I looked at it, I was like, this seems like something that would be right up my alley. And like a just natural add-on for me, right? So I applied and like immediately was accepted, which was like unheard of. But they were also right after QCon, like, okay, we need to ratchet up our ambassador program. So just perfect timing again. Like I'm very, very lucky here, right? Like, so becoming a CNCF ambassador, it helped open the door for that. It has also like interesting conversations. When there's vendor events, people just want to like show me stuff.
Yep.
So that's always kind of cool, right? Sure. Like, you know, you have to sign some NDAs and see some, you know, like that's fine, but you know, they're just trying to build a market for themselves too. So, and like, I'll give people product feedback. It's like, here's where you failed. And people have taken that to heart. So it's pretty cool. Like the Ballerina Project reached out to me early on, their whole platform thing. They showed that to me and I was like, that's great, but what about this? And they went and fixed it.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Any other opportunities or?
I'm trying to remember.
Or interactions or, you know.
And I'm pretty sure it helped me get this job, right? So, and that doesn't hurt. The other interactions I've had. I don't know. Like, having, so I get to meet cool people, but this is actually, like, the coolest part, right? Like, I get to meet people.
Yeah.
Because of the newsletter, right? Like, Gareth Rushgrove, he wrote DevOps, he writes DevOps Weekly.
Okay.
It's, like, 400-something issues now.
Yeah,
he's writing for like 8 years. Like I get to meet him.
That's
like
cool.
That's cool, right? Like that opened the door that like
yeah.
I never would have thought,
and,
right? Like,
and people community contributions come in all shapes and forms,
mm-hmm.
and I think people like hard contributions or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
like a newsletter is a contribution to the community. Like you're contributing to the conversation. You're kind of moving the state of the art forward
mm-hmm.
by doing it.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, by doing that, you can elevate your place in the community, or you'll feel more like
a team player.
Type.
I mean, that's what it is about me, right? Like, I just want to be part of a great team.
Facts.
And if that great team is an open source community like Kubernetes, an open source project like Ansible that becomes my employer in Red Hat, fine, right?
Yep.
Like, I just want to be part of a great team.
If you could do it all again, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I mean, I would never. So when I started the newsletter, it was on Medium as the website, and MailChimp as, you know, the kind of delivery platform.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time at first, like getting a good system in place, like a cloud native way to just make sure. I don't know if you know this, email is really hard. People like treat it like a utility, but it's actually really hard. Just make sure that chris@devoptious.com, where the email actually comes from, if you hit reply to that, it works.
Nice.
So like I see all your out of office replies every week. I mean, that's cool, but newsletters should not be like coming from do not reply addresses. I understand technically why people do it, but if I'm writing a newsletter and I'm trying to make things easier and I'm trying to talk to humans, humans should be able to talk back to me.
I
need the feedback too. So you hit reply, and you can obviously you get the disgusting parts of the internet replying sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Like, because I'm not shy about my opinion on things.
Sure.
You know, I've had people email me back and like, give us the news, and I'm like, guess what? It's my newsletter.
You get both.
You're getting both.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, like I mean, this is not like some. I'm not constitutionally obligated to be fair and impartial.
No.
I'm a human.
You're not a journalist.
I'm not a journalist.
You're not trying to be.
I'm not trying to be a journalist. If you don't like what I say in my newsletter. It's there, right? Like, people have opinions.
Yeah.
And opinions are like buttholes. Some of them stink. The idea that, I've seen people, like, mention this in the open source community.
Sure.
The open source community doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah.
You owe the open source community something. Don't sit there and look at a project and be like, well, it doesn't do this thing and I hate that.
Yep.
So I'm going to pick on the devs and open all these PRs, and they're going to reject them because it's against their right.
Sure.
Like, it's a waste of time. Don't do that.
So to bring it back to what you'd do differently if you could do it all again?
I would spend less time doing that and just throw it all on MailChimp and be done with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love using Hugo. I love, like, using GitLab and using all the CI and stuff, but it's gotten to the point where it's gotten in the way sometimes.
Yeah, it's overhead.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's like, I really could just do this once. Because what I actually end up doing the process is I will go through all the links, do everything in Markdown, you know, get the Hugo site up and running,
sure,
published, or, you know, previewed, published kind of thing, and then I'll just copy and paste from that preview page. And
into MailChimp.
Yeah, into MailChimp, because it does the HTML conversion and everything else. I could just do that once. I could make that a one-step process. That might happen this year.
Do it, Chris.
But I've got to make sure that the template I use for the MailChimp website is super, super fast.
Yep.
And that I might actually reach out to MailChimp on and be like, here's what I'm trying to do. Like, give me your fastest thing. Like, don't screw around. Like, what's the fastest theme in your whole arsenal?
Yeah.
Give it to me. Or I'll just make it myself or something, right? Like,
What I often do is I do their import from HTML thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, if you
have it
set up looking the way you want in HTML, and we'll just slurp it in and send that. That's pretty cool.
That's a good idea.
But speaking of good ideas, do you have any advice for somebody who's like, you know, I think I want to do something similar?
Reach out to people.
Early stages, okay.
Yeah, reach out to people and like, just, you know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
We're all human. You know, I'm on a podcast. That doesn't make me, like, I put on my pants the same way you do, right? It doesn't make me special.
Yeah.
Like, I write a newsletter. That doesn't make me, like, the President of the United States.
Sure. And even being the President of the United States wouldn't make you that special.
No. I mean, yeah. Whatever.
Keep
Let's not get that. Yeah.
So, then I guess final question is, where do you like to tell people to find you online?
Twitter. So, at Chris Short on Twitter.
Yep.
I am probably more responsive to Twitter than email these days.
Wow.
Well, it's easy.
Sign the times, hey.
Yeah, you know, like, it's 280 characters. You're not going to write some, you know, dictionary email to people.
Probably not, yeah. The call to action will be clear in a
Bingo.
Twitter message, yeah.
Exactly. Now, DM's a different story, but yeah, like, if people are tweeting at me, that's super, super handy, because, let's face it, I'm a busy person, and, you know, like, it, don't get me wrong, I will happily tell people, hey, by the way, this is a long conversation, let's actually talk with mouth words, you know, not written words.
It's underrated, man.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, like, I pay for a Zoom account for that reason too, right? Like, if five people want to talk to me, let's do it all at once and, like, answer all your questions. You're all going to benefit from it. So, yeah, reach out to people. They can help you.
I like the idea of ending right there, Chris. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Cool beans and podcast.
Done.